5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLFGS.org. And IC Challenge, LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1054 of the Linksling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Hello.
We have Dave.
Hello.
And can any one of you three guess what happened this week?
You did drop set incline dumbbell press.
No.
You got a bigger hard drive.
Oh, that's me.
No, I didn't get a bigger hard drive.
New computer.
No.
Something at work.
No. Something at home.
New dishwasher.
What?
New dishwasher.
No, close.
Your basement flooded.
New dryer.
No.
New washing machine.
Think dishwasher.
New dishwasher.
You got the warranty company out again for your dishwasher, and they screwed you over again.
No. All right. My pump went again. They're coming out on the 14th.
It's your fault again.
No. Well, you know what? This is funny, because today we had, like, the quarterly maintenance. Quarterly maintenance is basically they come around, and they replace the air filters, and I guess if it's annual maintenance, they check the batteries in the fire alarms too. But they have to. They're really concerned about the air filters, because if they start to get a little too dirty and the airflow doesn't go right, the HVAC system, air conditioner in particular, doesn't work right, and it puts too much stress on it. And they already have enough problems with these things. But anyway, yeah, I thought they were coming out yesterday, but it was today. And I went to turn on the dishwasher yesterday, and I went to unload it a couple hours later, and I'm like, there's no water in here, but the soap looks like it hasn't even been touched, almost. Everything's kind of warm and moist, and nothing's clean, and I'm like, shit, here we go again. So sure enough, I started it and was just waited. No spraying again, so the pump is gone. They were out and fixed it on March 24th the last time, so this lasted 2 months instead of three. It was working perfectly fine on Monday, shit the bed. And there's no warning. Like, there's no warning whatsoever when it happens. It's just 1 minute it's working fine, and the next it's like doesn't work at all. So I sent a work order in. I also emailed the property manager. I said, look, I put another work order in because the pump went. This time it's been 2 months. I guess you're going to have to call and have them come out. And she made the appointment. You know, she wasn't pointing a finger at me. Last time the guy came out and said it wasn't anything I did, you know. Now, sure enough, the quarterly maintenance guy, he's like, I don't get it. I'm wondering if it's something that you could be doing. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, really? I'm like, I have used a dishwasher the same way all my life, and I've never had these problems. I'm like, I baby this dishwasher. I keep it clean. You know, you tell me to clean it all the time. You tell me to make food in there.
You
tell me
to made, though?
Run the hot water before I use it. And boom. I'm saying it just burns. I don't know. There's a defect in it, but whatever. What was that, what? Joe? Joel?
Do you know when it was made? What year it was made?
I do not know.
Makes me wonder if it's made between 2020 and 2021. Because it could be that it's just a shit dishwasher.
Well, given that it's still under warranty, I'm guessing it was probably made in the past year and a half, 2 years.
All right.
I know it was put in about a year ago. Well, yeah. I see, what I don't know is, like, because the last time the guy was out and I talked to him, I said, you know, this is the second time now. Do you think they're going to have a recall on this pump or whatever, or this dishwasher? He's like, well, I don't know. You know, it takes a lot for them to do a recall. So I don't know. And my concern is like, you know, this happened every 2 to 3 months. This thing is just burning through pumps. Like, what's going to happen when the warranty is no longer available? It's not really my problem. You know, it's the property manager's problem, but, you know, and I hope that's something that they're thinking on. I don't know. It's the guy said he can't see anything that I was doing. The thing looks still brand new, you know, because it is. It's only 2 months old. The pump looks brand new. The filters are clean. I keep them clean. You know, they say run hot, warm hot water before you turn it on. Well, most of the time I do that. But this is all shit that I never had to do with any other dishwasher I've ever had. Now, sure enough,
yeah,
when things start getting a little, you know, not perfectly clean, and you look in there and you're like, I guess the filter could use a little, you know, a little wash in there. Let's clean that off. And then things are fine. And the dishwasher runs for a decade. And you don't have any. I've never had this problem, especially with a brand new dishwasher. So, you know, I don't know. But we'll see.
What brand is all three of these dishwashers the same brand? Identical dishwashers?
Oh, no. They're not replacing the dishwasher.
Oh, okay.
They're replacing the pump, the main pump in the bottom.
Yeah.
What brand dishwasher is it? It's a Whirlpool.
Okay.
So this is the third one that's going in. And so my question is, when I look at this, I'm like, okay, is there an electrical problem going on here? Is it not wired? Is there a problem with the wiring? Like, I would venture to guess no, because I'm pretty sure that the Whirlpool maintenance people, have looked all that stuff over, but it's still possible there could be something. You know, is it getting surged? Is there a problem on the controller board that's burning out the motor or something? You know, who knows? They pull out the motor and it looks brand new. The pump motor and everything, it looks all brand new. And they just slap in a brand new one. It's kind of annoying because now it's next 2.5 weeks is washing all the dishes by hand again, which, you know, I have to say, I don't really love doing that, but damn, dishes look really nice when I do. Not to my own horn. But anyway, one thing, talk about things coming back to bite you in the ass. The Dependabot stuff, works really great, and there was a complaint issued on the fact that so many tickets have been opened over the past couple of months, and it's a deluge. You know, there's like a ton of them. So I went looking at them, and I discovered there's a couple of issues with this whole process that could use a little bit of refinement. And that is when Dependabot opens a pull request and it fails our testing, it creates a JIRA ticket, and then somebody's supposed to come in and pick that up. And since we implemented that, they had let go like three people out of our team. So the people that the availability of people to go in and kind of work through those issues has decreased, which means that there's a bunch of tickets that have been left open that nobody has gotten to yet. And when I went to go look, we're talking about, I'm going to say, at least 100 tickets. So it is a significant amount. And the interesting thing about it is, because people aren't keeping up on it, and what ends up happening is that if a pull request that Dependabot opens, it gets a little too old, and let's say a new version of that module comes out, it will close the old one and open a new one, which means the ticket that's associated with that old one remains open. And so the pull request is closed, but the ticket is open. So I found at least 40 of those. And then there's been some of the new people coming in, picking up these things, haven't closed their tickets. So I found a bunch of those that were still left open that should have been closed. Then there's the situation where Dependabot will come in, it'll fail tests, and then somewhere along the line, somebody makes a change or another dependency goes in, and then it reruns, you know, it rebases that pull request, and it passes the test and it merges in. So it merges it, but the ticket is left open. So I guess what I'm going to try and implement is that another workflow that operates when a – I know I can do it when a pull request is closed, that if the Dependabot is the owner of that pull request, then I'm going to see if I can pull the ticket number out of the title of the pull request, use that ticket number to then close the ticket in JIRA. And hopefully, fingers crossed, that will work smoothly. But, you know, it's a bunch of conditionals in there that I got to be aware of. Like, I got to make sure that I'm not closing that ticket that somebody else has taken over. So it's like a bunch of different things. So hopefully I'll be able to get that into play the next day or so. Other than that, things have been going pretty smoothly at work. Everybody's loving the new deployment process on the VIP stuff. So that exciting times, Dave. Exciting times. Ready to start the summer. Ready to start the summer.
I've been fielding tickets from my engineering team that teams fuck ups. So they're currently working on a project where they're basically upgrading the operating systems from Windows 2012 to, I think, 2019. Yes, 2012.
Holy crap.
So how they're doing this is they'll build a new...
They're upgrading it to what?
2019.
Isn't there a newer version than that?
Of Windows?
2022.
Right now 2019 I think is the one that our product supports and all that stuff. So that's where we're at.
Holy crap. You're talking like a 12-year-old operating system. A 5-year-old operating system?
Don't get me started. So what they're doing is I assume they're trying to do blue-green. So they're building new servers, install everything on it, make sure all the connectivity tests are okay. Then they run some Ansible to switch them out, shut the old one down, and decommission it, stuff like that, okay? But they forgot the client's customizations. And then when they went to go fix it last week, they fat fingered it and ran the customization install shield against the wrong folder. And I'm like, how the hell do you do that? I'm like,
is it easy to roll back though?
Yeah, well, in their case, all they really had to do for that one client to, this week was apply the logo image and put the sitemap back in place. That's all they had to do for the one user. But for the other user, they had to run the customization install. They had to run the and it's a specific order because they also use something called Nelnet, for which is a like an e-commerce piece. All right, and they you have to run it in a certain order. But once you run it in a certain order, their customization is applied and all that jazz. So, but it's like these two clients, and I know we're probably got more coming because they just migrated a whole bunch of people more over to the new servers. But yeah. But don't get me started on how out of date some of it is, because let me tell you, it's worse than you think. We still have RHEL 6 boxes. So, and you know how old that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're making
positive
progress.
That's not even supported anymore, is it?
I know. No, it's not.
Is Windows 2012 still supported?
It's coming off support very soon if it's not off support already.
Oh, so what are they? What is the lifespan of Windows 2019?
Don't know 100%. All I know is we get them. I look at it and I figure out what it is, and I'm like, oh, we're not going to fix that because that's customization and that has nothing to do with our product. So it goes over to you guys. I'm like,
you know,
yeah, oh, goodbye.
Wait, I gotta look. You know what? Oh, okay. Well, you're lucky. You're lucky because the 2019 mainstream end date was January 9th of this year, and they've extended the end date to January 9th, 2029. So you have another five years.
Look at it this way. But look at it this way, though. See, Windows 11 has been out in some sort of or fashion or form since, what, 2021, right? Do you know what the most popular operating system is currently still for Windows?
XP?
It's Windows 10 still.
Oh, Windows 10?
Yep.
Well, then they have the. Isn't that like every time a new version of Windows comes out, like the previous version? It's just, well, maybe I'm mistaken, because what? There was XP and then, was it XP and then Millennium? And then Windows?
No, you got the order wrong.
Oh.
It was ME. Millennium. ME was the last of the 9X series.
98, right. ME, XP, 7.
Vista.
8,
Vista.
8, 1. Oh,
Vista.
Yeah. Vista. That crap show. I forgot. Yeah. I've been doing my best to forget about that one.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Wait, when did Vista? Was Vista before 7?
XP Vista 7.
XP Vista 7, 8, 8.1, 10.
They just skipped. They had no 9?
Right.
There was no 9.
So wasn't that a problem with, like, up to Windows 10? Wasn't XP still the lion's share for a long time?
Yes.
It was.
Yeah. And then. Wow.
I love this one. I'm trying to read a schematic that was done in PowerPoint. Yeah. Anyway, I've recently been ordering. I've talked about this in a pre-show, but I'll talk about it again. But recently been ordering some electronic parts from AliExpress. I got the first order in yesterday, which was just some random capacitor. I only spent like $12, but I got some random capacitors, 3 or 4 different values of resistors coming. Not random capacitors. There are specific values in there. And then I've got 2 different Arduino boards coming. They're neither of them are the official Arduino .cc branded versions. So they're going to be copies, and since that's all just using the same at mega chip, they should theoretically work just as well as the others. But Prior to that, I had bought some DF Player Minis, which are basically, it's a got a micro SD card slot on it, and it's an MP3 player that you can control via the Arduino using. You can use buttons. You can basically build your own MP3 player if you want. But what I'm probably going to do is use it like to eventually, once I learn how to use the board, is I'm thinking about like building like a putting a motion detector on it and then stick it like in my pumpkin for Halloween and have some sounds playing out of the speaker to scare the shit out of the little kids coming the trick or treating, you know. I thought that would be fun. Maybe, okay, maybe not scare them, but at least do something cool with it. So, but those are also being used. Like one of the, when I was at Hamvention a few weeks ago, that was one of the things they talked about using that. You can use that for a voice keyer for a field day, which is coming up here in June. Or you can also use it. I guess you could use it to send Morse code too if you wanted to, but. But we'll see how it all works. I found a different circuit, a little bit simpler sketch to use. I'll put this in the mobile chat, and you can see what I mean. I think eventually I need to get like a power supply, a bench power supply for the house here. There we go. So that's very simple, like learn how to use it kind of deal. Although the one thing I ain't figured out is the pinout on the Arduino in their diagram here. I can't see which pins those are. And I'm trying to think, because in the instructions in this, it says an Arduino Uno Rev 3, which is what I have, but that doesn't look like a Rev 3. That looks, and even in the pictures, it looks like a Nano. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that. But and I have the order I got from Amazon shipped with speakers, but of course it did not put in. They did not solder any wires on the end of the speakers, so I can't use it with a breadboard. But I think eventually what I'll end up doing is get a prototype board and throw everything on a prototype board, and that way I can wire it that way. So, and then it'll be like a finished product. So, but, and I don't know why. Well, he says you have to separate the DF player mini module power from the Arduino power, or you'll hear very loud noises. I'm just trying to hear any noises, because the initial sketch I was trying didn't seem to work at all, because I couldn't get anything out of it. Granted, I was trying to use, I do have the original Arduino board I got came with from Vilros, so it's the board itself is mounted on a like a piece of plastic that also has a breadboard on it. And it came with some other pieces like lights, LEDs, and stuff like that. And I took that and then put it on the breadboard. And I'm using a piezo, which should work. A piezo is very similar to a speaker. A lot of your smaller speakers are essentially piezo elements. So I at least should be able to get some noise out of it before I blow it up or something. You know, I don't care if I blow it up. It's a cheap piece of electronics. But some of the things I've noticed, besides the fact that my eyeballs are getting older, I'm going to probably order that one of those helping hand things that we talked about last week, Joe, because I can't freaking read any of the labels on the side of the capacitors I got, and the wires on them are really tiny compared to what everything was when I was in college in, what, 89, 92, you know?
Yeah.
So everything's smaller. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the labels, too. At least it is.
You got to do some of that soldering on faith, honestly.
Yeah, where you're doing the leads on the new caps that I got in are done properly. So there's one is longer than the other. I believe that is the positive side, I think. I can tell the one that's the one label I can see on them, because these are electrolytics that I ordered. The negative side usually has a arrow going down one side of the cap, so you can tell which way it is. But the thing I can't tell is I can't tell what fucking value it is, because I can't read it. So, but right now I'm not this circuit. If you look at the one in the Mumble chat, doesn't require any caps. It's just wiring up the module direct, wiring the speaker direct to it, and only using very, very minimal parts of that. You're not using the 80 key lines or the ground on it. Although there's multiple grounds. There's grounds on each side of the board, so you don't have to. It just depends on how you wire it. So, but we'll see. I want to start messing around with it, trying to do some little projects like that. So it's kind of fun screwing around with it. The code's pretty easy to understand. Eventually, I want to get a MP3, another Pi Zero W, because I want to take the
you're gonna get the two?
No, I have the MMDVM module or thing that I bought for my digital amateur radio, the digital voice stuff I do on amateur radio, and it's essentially a radio hotspot. So, but include the board it runs off of is the I believe it's a MediaTek board, and the only way that you can upgrade it is if you wire the JTAG port on it and flash it that way, which is a pain in the ass. But I found a video by M0FXB on YouTube where he has you replace that the board that it runs on with a Pi Zero W running OSTAR, or not OSTAR, Pi Star. I mean, OSTAR is what it runs, which is based on OpenWRT. Pi Star is a different one that runs. It still does all the same modes and stuff, but it's much more documented and updatable. You know, all I'd have to do is put the new version on a flash card, boot it, and that's it. And the Pi Star project even has a way that you can generate the WPA supplicant file that you just copy to the SD card before you boot the Pi up. So it'll automatically connect up to your Wi-Fi network on boot. But it's a very easy replacement. Basically, I pop the other board out, pop the other one in. It has the same pinouts. The Pi Zero W has to have the headers. The one I have doesn't have the headers, and I ain't soldering that bullshit. So it doesn't hurt for me to have a spare board around. So if I order one with the headers, they're not that expensive. Then I can use that in that, and then have something that's a little bit more up to date and updatable. So I won't have to worry about security and all that stuff with it. But which goes back towards something else that I learned about at Hamvention. I've talked about a long while ago, there's a company called RF Finder that was building basically an Android device that has the 2 meter and 70 centimeter radios in it, and it basically does everything that a radio and this thing does all in one unit. And the nice thing is, for the DMR side of things, is you don't have to program what's called a code plug. And now it's called that because in the original usage of DMR, it literally was that. It was like a plug that you would physically plug into the public service radios. that use that to program it, all right? But essentially all it is now is just sending the frequencies and the talk groups and stuff down into the radio. So with the this RF finder unit, all you have to do is fire up the app, and it'll do all that stuff for you. You don't have to reprogram it. You can say, oh, I want to be on this talk group, and bam, you're on that talk group. You don't have to program it. And because an Android phone has a lot more storage than any of these radios do, you're not held back by the limited amount of flash storage the radio may have. Okay. Only problem with that is the RF Finder units, the RF Finder B1 and all that, are running really, really old versions of Android. Like, we're talking Android 9 and 10. Yeah. So, I forget the name of it. I think I got a bookmark somewhere. But at Hamvention at the Gigaparts booth, there is a company there that was working on it. And hopefully in the next month we'll have the first Android 14 base units. And they're going to... they've committed to doing updates with them. All right. The only kind of downside in them is that they have cellular. I don't really care if the cellular stuff's built into it. I'm like, I'll just use my hotspot on my phone or my car. But they do support cellular networks, and they probably don't support Verizon. So, and they're super thick, so there's no way I would just get this and just use that as my phone, because it'd be really too much to carry. Like, if I'm just going, like, say I'm going on vacation, don't want to take a radio with me. I don't want to take that thing, big thing with a big 70-centimeter, 2-meter antenna on top of it. It won't fit in my pocket, so I'll take a Pixel 6. So, but... anywho, hopefully I can hack that thing together without frying it. I may order another one of them just in case, so that I have a backup unit before I start doing surgery on it. Because I may also take the opportunity to switch out the existing battery pack for, what is it, 16... what's the ones they use in the Vape 1650s, or I can't remember. I think that's the ones. Sealed, not sealed cells, but a cell that's not one of those pillow pack cells, if you know what I mean. So you can do that. They've done the same thing in the same container. So, but the only thing soldering wise I would have to do after I plug it in would be to take the power supply from inside the unit and find the places on the 0W board to plug it in to solder them in. That's it, two wires. So I'm thinking about that. I don't know if I'm going to do that right away or not, though, because I had too much fun talking on the radio.
But...
get that money's worth, right?
Yep. Oh, man, I went to the store on Monday. After my hike, you know, took a shower, we went to up to the mall, and I went into a Duluth Trading, and I thought, well, while I'm here, why don't I try a pair of pants, two inches smaller than the last pair of shorts I bought, and I was in them, so I've lost a total of six inches around my waist.
That's great, man.
That is great.
So I used to wear a 50-inch pair of pants. Now I can do 44s.
That's a lot.
And 2X shirts instead of 3X. So generally, it depends on the cut, whether a 2X fits me better or a 3X fits me better. Some of the dressier, like a not dressier, but like some polos, I might need to wear the 3 instead of the 2, just so it fits right.
Are you at your next goal yet?
Yeah, I want to get down to, well, it's kind of two goals, because here's one I want to. I'm 294 as of this morning. down from 381 at the heaviest. So 281 would be 100 pounds lost. So that's kind of the short-term one, which I should be able to get to here in the next month or so. But the next one is I want to get down to 270. If I get to 270, my BMI will be low enough that I could be considered a good candidate for the Inspire Sleep Therapy surgery, which is a implant, and they put wires. The implant goes in your chest, wires go up into your airway, and the way it works is it detects when your airway is closing, and then it gives you a little shock that you can't feel that opens the airway up. And
it contracts
you do not,
the muscle.
Yep, and you don't have to sleep with a machine anymore.
Quick question. Now, you do have apnea, and that's why I'm asking.
Correct.
There's no other reason. Have you had your testosterone levels checked?
Testosterone? No.
You should.
No. Yeah. But I guarantee you that when I go into June 7th, I have to go back and look at my – here, let me fire up my phone. I got two doctor's appointments. One's with my sleep doctor coming up, and the other is with my primary care. The sleep doctor, I guarantee you they're probably going to want to send me for another sleep study since I've lost so much weight.
Oh, to check your new pressure?
Yeah. At a minimum, they can probably lower the pressure, which, God, please.
At least
twice in the last week, I woke up either in the morning or in the middle of the night, and I just felt this big old air bubble in my gut.
Cough. You can reprogram the thing yourself. Cough.
I know I can, but I'm going to play the safe way.
No, I tried to play their stupid games, and in 6 months with the wrong pressure, no, I'm good.
Yeah, so
I'll turn
it's
on
not
the variable, so that way it picks the correct one.
Well, I think it already, I don't know if mine is or not, I think it already is. It's a BiPAP, so it might be.
Well, it might have the option, but if you're experiencing high pressures all the time, if it is variable, then drop the low. Because you can drop the low down to like 3 or something, and if that's not something you're going to actually need, it's never going to drop down to 3.
You don't even need a computer to do it anymore. You can do it all from the display on the machine.
Absolutely.
Why? How do I know? I watched him do it.
How do I know? I programmed my own.
So, but I actually would be totally up for a test because who knows, maybe if I go, because I weigh less now, I think, than when I was first diagnosed.
Because you're a larger guy and because you have apnea, which can lead to you being a larger guy, it can also, those two things can cause you to, or be a symptom of having low testosterone.
Yeah. That's an,
I don't really know which comes first there.
Yeah, I'll talk with my my primary care about that. But I do know that as long as everything's normal next March, I'm done with nephrology. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
before you move on, I can chime in about Wade Doctors and Duluth Trading Company.
Yes.
I had blood work done today, and my blood work's always, perfect, more or less. But my weight, I'm the heaviest I've ever been. I need to do something about that. But
how much do you weigh?
190.
How tall are you?
5'8". It's all in the gut.
Mm.
But
yeah.
Ten pounds. Most.
Hey, have you seen a picture of him that lately? He looks like Santa Claus. Okay,
With my body frame, I need to weigh about 150. I'm a good 35-40 pounds overweight.
Well, no, you need to weigh 170, but you need to switch to make it all muscle instead of fat.
What I need to do is lose enough to fit in my new Duluth Trading Company overalls that are coming tomorrow. I was watching some farmer guy on YouTube with my grandson, and he had on a pair of overalls, and I'm like,
I'm going to tell you, or at least Joel knows what I'm going to tell you.
Let me finish the overalls first. I've got overalls, but they're like heavy and thick stuff. This is like They're like 97%.
Are they the fire hose ones?
No, these are like 97% nylon and 3% spandex. They're little lightweight, stretchy things.
My wife was wearing overalls today. Let me tell you, that shit's sexy. Oh.
Well,
Joe's like, giggity, giggity.
I'm sure I'm going to look enormous in these, so I may have to lose some weight to wear them. But okay, what are you going to tell me?
So
you should lift weights.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
There you go.
I've got to wait.
Pick up heavy
right
shit.
Upstairs. Yeah, I know.
But to Duluth for a minute, man, they're expensive. Well, I didn't get the price of the jeans, and I didn't buy those jeans because I have jeans. I will say this: I have my favorite jacket I have that I end up wearing most of the time, including in the winter, is. I want to say I think it's one of their Longshoreman ones. It's a blue fleece. I need to get another one of those because that thing, I swim in it now.
I've never ordered from them before, but these were normally a very
inflated. We have a store.
We have a store. $120, but I got them for – they were on sale for $89, and I had a 20% off coupon. If I'd ordered them today, okay. 30% off. So I got them for like $71.
Right. So what I did end up doing, though, when I was there is I went and bought – they have this Armachillo brand.
Yeah.
Of underwear as well as shorts and other products. I found that on the clearance rack a navy blue pair of cargo shorts that I bought in 44. 44 inches, 9-inch leg. So I haven't put them on yet, but I'm sure they'll fit. But you know, but their stuff is it's expensive, but generally I found it most of the time, it's warranted for it. It's high quality stuff.
So, I've got Carhartt overalls, but they're too heavy to wear in the winter. I mean, in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you talking about Duluth?
Yeah.
Yeah, Duluth.
Yeah, my wife swears by them. I have underwear from Duluth. They're great. I tell her to buy me more. I'm still waiting.
You got the Armachillo ones that make your package feel cooler.
Yeah, you want to come over here and feel it, Joel?
No, thanks. No, thanks. My son loves them. I don't care for them because I am not a boxer brief kind of guy.
Shit.
But
I have to do boxer briefs. I can't do boxers. I need a little extra support.
Well, I don't like those either. I'm a briefs kind of guy.
No, I can't do briefs because my legs are just a bit too chonky for, you know, it to fit my waist.
I get
my
that.
My thighs are not going to fit.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, but other stuff, I mean, I have that jacket from there. I want to get a pair. They have their a pair of pants they sell made out of fire hose.
Yeah.
That I want to try. I want to try those. Those look like pretty. They would not be the right thing to wear at this time of year.
I had a wallet made out of fire hose, and it was – the thing about the material, you put like 8 or 9 cards in it, it would hold them tight. But you take one out, it would stretch to the point that it was loose, and they would all fall out. You took one out,
what you're saying, right?
Yeah,
I get it with the wallet.
That.
Yeah, I get it
with
the wallet.
I can imagine pants would be the same. They're going to stretch, but they're not going to recover.
That fire hose material, it's pretty solid until it starts to fray.
Yeah.
And then it's all coming undone.
That pair of jeans I tried on were they're ballroom jeans, which are supposed to have more room for the guys. You know, they're comfortable. I'd wear them. I'd buy them. I don't know if I want to spend $60 on a pair of jeans, though.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited. Actually, I can go buy jeans at Sam's Club now because they carry 44s. But they did. They used to carry the bigger sizes I wore, but they stopped carrying in those. But I'm not rushing out to buy a lot of clothes because I.
You're hoping to lose more.
That's exactly right. You know, the trip. Unfortunately, the trip that I did last September.
Invest
to corporate
in belts.
Right. Oh yeah, I got a belt.
Get some Texas belt buckles.
Yeah. Actually, I got these. This package of three different canvas belts. I actually need to cut them down a little bit because they're still a little too long. But they look a little bit like the Boy Scout style, but you just put it in the slot there and flip the thing down. It doesn't have that little
military bar. Had them too for the dress pants.
Right. Yeah, it's very similar to the military style, and I like them. And I have like a light blue, a navy blue, and a dark brown one. And they hold the pants pretty tight, which is good because they still have some. I don't wear any of the 50s anymore, but
no, I like belt buckles.
Yeah, I do too, but these do have belt buckles.
I mean, when I go to work, you know, I gotta dress kind of conservatively, so I can get like an unusual belt buckle just to give me that little flair of style.
Get so you look Batman like Howard Wolowitz. Buckle.
Get a...
Yeah, you look like Howard Wolowitz from The Big Bang Theory. He's the guy that always wore the belt.
I know
buckles.
Who Howard Wolowitz is. I also know that I could, you know, curl Howard Wolowitz.
That ain't hard.
With one hand.
So I got an update from our good friend Link. He's gone away. He's back on the peritoneal dialysis instead of the hemodialysis, so that's an improvement. But he gets more energy when he does the peritoneal. Is a little bit less invasive, okay? But he's still having some issues breathing. He's got POTS, which happened because he had COVID. So he has that feeling like he can't take deep breaths. So, it sounds like he's on oxygen now, O2 right now.
He has long-term COVID symptoms.
That's what he sounds like. And his company approved the disability. So at least now he's going to be getting paid. So that's a good thing. But unfortunately, we also found out he said his wife's getting some vein surgery tomorrow. So pray for me. If you're praying, pray for Michelle and Link. They've been getting hit left and right with these medical things. So, his kitchen flooding too. You heard about that?
Was it a pipe or something?
Wait, something like it? That. And he just had the flooring all redone too.
Yeah.
So. And I think what it was is the plumber that did the kitchen remodel fucked up. So it's all warrantied.
Ugh.
So that's a good thing. But let me tell you, y'all were here around when I redid the kitchen in my old house. And let me tell you, that shit ain't fun. I wasn't doing any of the work, but I did have to tear the kitchen apart. You know, clean all the cabinets out because we were getting new cabinets. And nothing's where you want it to be, you know. But Luke got a certificate of completion for his automotive repair class he took. So I think he was going to take some of the classes down at Columbus State this summer, but the only class they had available for the class he could take was at 8 a.m., and he didn't really want to take an 8 a.m. class, so he's going to wait until the next term.
So you're looking to get a job in a garage or something?
Well, he can. He can.
What's he waiting
for? He knows
for?
Enough now. I don't know, man. He should go. Personally, he should go to, like, a instant oil change place or something like that. Because that's all they start them with eventually at the first, you know. But
it's a good job, man. Everybody, you'll be in demand by everybody.
Oh, dude, you gotta be banking some bank, man.
You gotta tell him, man. He can fix your cars for free.
I know. Yeah, we had to get his the AC fan fixed in his car. We got it done all under warranty. Because it's not
he
could have
fixed it himself, right?
Maybe. See, that one depends. Well, first he'd have to have the tools, and I'm sure we don't have that here. I have tools, but probably not what he'd need. But Some of those on that fan on the GMs, he might be able. You might be able to do that without too much effort at home, because the only thing that is kind of scary though is you might have to take the knee airbag on a lot of them now, and I think both of our cars have that. You may have to temporarily unmount that while you're pulling the fan out. Not really something that I want to do, because you know it could have the potential to like go off. but that's the indoor filter, the in cabin filter for the GM cars are usually in the glove box. So, but we had the thing I might do is I still might do is I might write a note to the guy who owns co-owns the dealership over there, because they never have a loaner car for warranty repairs ever. They used to, like right when he first took over, but since COVID, they have never had one. So we had to rent we had to get Luke a rental car for a few days. Fortunately, mommy and daddy had enough in savings to take care of that for him. But they gave him a Camry. That was a nice car.
I'll bet.
Speaking of cars and repairs, I doubled the value of my 2012 Prius and our 2010 Honda Pilot.
Oh,
yeah. Did you change the oil?
I changed the windshield wipers.
Ah.
Yeah, like a new car now.
I need to get some too. But I'm probably going to end up ordering from Amazon because
that's
easier.
The place to get it. Well, they're a whole lot cheaper than Walmart.
And you can just plug in your car and it'll tell you if it fits or not.
This put in the word factory in your search.
I guarantee you, I probably already have the right ones in a wish list somewhere in Amazon with me. Yeah. That way you can just go in there and order them.
Well, before it gets too late, I want to mention three things real quick. I mentioned maybe 2 weeks ago I thought I had fixed my Nextcloud installation. I think starting with version 28.5 or something, it was logging me out regardless of inactivity. And I thought I'd fixed it with the trusted proxy settings and having to have an IP address in there. And that didn't work. But it updated to 29.01. This existed for the last three versions, but 29.01 fixed it. So I couldn't fix it, but they did. So that's a win. I'll count that. Plasma 6 has come out, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago for Arch, and that introduced some problems for me. I'm running the i3 window manager, and I used to run Dolphin. If I needed a graphic file manager, I used Dolphin. And when they first went to version 6 of Plasma, I forgot what the issue was. I quit using Dolphin and started using Crusader. I forgot why, but I've stuck with Crusader. But in both Dolphin and Crusader, this persisted even after Arch moved to 6.01, Plasma Desktop 6.01. Within i3, within a window manager using a KDE file manager, if I right-clicked on a file to try to open it, the menu that would pop up to show you all the apps you could open with was blank, empty. And the issue there was KDE, I guess to become standards compliant, renamed the .menu file that's in the etc/xdg menu directory from applications.menu to plasma-applications.menu. So I just did a symlink and that fixed that. And the other win for me this week was I use a terminal program for Reddit. It's called TUIR. I guess it's Terminal User Interface Reddit. And going to starting with Python 3.12, that program no longer works. So I just set up the virtual environment for Python 3.11 and it works again. So that made me happy. Yeah. That's the cool end. That's all I got. Everything that was
running again.
Now. Well, the pit boss lives another year. Fired it up Monday and had some burgers, and man, they were tasty.
Oh, we had brisket on Monday. I didn't cook it. A friend of mine did. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was done in a pellet smoker. Yes. Wasn't it? But it was great.
Pellet smokers.
I had Tuesday for breakfast, I had leftover brisket and the largest fresh egg I'd ever seen in my life. It was a double yolk. It was huge. Took 2 minutes and 30 seconds to cook that egg in the microwave.
You're doing it wrong, Dave.
It was huge. It was
cooking eggs in the microwave.
Cast iron, man.
No, that takes too long.
Stove.
I made
baby.
A brisket and egg sandwich, and it was out of this world. Brisket, egg, and hot sauce.
I haven't done any eggs yet this week. I did. I've been doing my. At least one day, I did the protein powder in the morning. I take the protein powder and I'll either mix it with water or cold brew if I have any, and ice. And I got one of them new bullet blender things with the cup on it, you know. So that's what I did this morning for breakfast. The other day I did Monday I did quinoa with the. The recipe is called PB&J quinoa. So it's quinoa, you cook it in milk. And then halfway through you mix in half of your cup of berries and then you top it with the rest of the cups. And you're supposed to do peanut butter, but I'll do the PB Fit powder, which has a lot less calories. I just put the powder straight on it. I don't mix it with water. I
used to mix just a pouch of tuna with some mustard and some mozzarella string cheese and banana peppers in quinoa. And that was good.
And I like banana peppers very much.
Yeah,
I was going to say, with your iced coffee that you're doing with the protein powder?
Yes.
Toss in a frozen banana.
Yeah, I have to have some first.
Yeah, but, that's true. But it just adds a little bit of smoothness.
One thing I've started doing when I do make the scrambled eggs in the morning, the ones I've been doing with the greens in them, power greens, not collard greens. Collard greens are nasty.
Collard greens are delicious. It's not with it. Not with eggs. Oh, I do too.
Man, but, I love collard greens.
I've been
greens.
Throwing some feta right, as well in with the eggs.
I eat an egg every day, and
that's delicious.
My neighbor is next door neighbor is the superintendent of education, but he's also a chicken farmer, and he gives me a dozen eggs a week. This gives them to me, and they're awesome.
Farm fresh eggs. Oh, that is.
I'd never had one until last year.
Mm.
They're superior.
Well, I was also going to say that with the peanut butter powder, the reason that it's lower calorie is because all the oil is removed. And at first, you don't notice it. It tastes, you know, mostly like peanut butter if you're first making it. But there's a couple other things that you can do to spice that flavor back up. Either use like mocha skinny syrup.
Coconut oil.
Or toss in just a little bit coconut oil, a little bit of warm coconut oil, and mix it up, because that will just... Mm.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah, but the mocha skinny syrups I highly recommend. Oh, and the peanut butter skinny syrups if you can get them.
I have drank all my coffee I bought at Dayton already. I only had 12 ounces, so it wasn't that much. But I did buy some more stuff from Viking Coffee. And my new mug should be shipping from them soon, as I ordered one of their new mug designs they got coming in. Not that I need another coffee mug. I wanted another coffee mug.
I need another 64-ounce coffee mug. Mine cracked.
Don't you hate it when your favorite coffee mug cracks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You guys are coffee drinkers.
Joe and I are.
Okay, now just forget the 64-ounce stuff. You're drinking just a cup of coffee in a coffee cup.
My 64-ounce cup was a coffee cup.
Okay, well, forget me painting a scenario. This is what happens. I guess I don't like the terminology.
You're talking about a 6-ounce coffee cup or something?
Yeah. My wife and my mother-in-law, they go drink coffee.
I think I'm wrong. It was a 32-ounce.
If I'm over there eating with them, they'll both have a cup of coffee. And both of them will use the expression, hand me their cup and say, will you warm this up for me? And in my mind, that means stick it in the microwave.
Yuck.
But No, they want it refreshed.
They want it refreshed.
Why don't they just say, can
they
you
want
put some
more
coffee in
put in it.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. That is nasty.
They don't mind. They're going to drink the coffee, but I just don't
like the
phrase, warm this up.
You know? Fart on it, Dave. That'll turn their head. They'll never ask you to do that again.
You're a genius.
I got solutions to all your problems.
If you never want them to, you know, have you do it again, an easier way other than farting on their coffee, which I admit will work, what you do is you look at their partially full cup, you down the whole thing, and you hand it back to them.
I can't drink coffee. And I don't mind doing it. I just don't like the way they're asking. Warm it up. If that bothers me. But I'm not.
I hear you, Dave. I would have thought. I'd have been okay, stick it in the microwave.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Here's the easiest way to stop them from doing that. If they ask you to fix you a cup of coffee, do it wrong.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Dump extra sugar in or more cream.
They both drink it black, but I know the trick. You know, another thing you do is just ask a gob of questions. And, you know, they won't ask you anymore, but I don't mind doing it. I just don't like the terminology.
Certain coffees I'll drink black. Some coffees you gotta kind of mix down a little bit, especially if you're planning on drinking it in bulk.
My mother-in-law is 95 and she drinks Folgers, and my wife drinks the Great Value Donut Shop Keurig. Right.
Folgers?
So, right. Yeah. They don't have.
Look, if I'm making Death Wish coffee and I'm making a whole pot of it and I'm making it nice and strong the way I like it, I'm going to put a little almond milk in there, and I'm probably going to put some skinny syrup in there, and then if I have time, which isn't very often, I might put some sweetener in there. I know, I'm a horrible human being, but my kids say that my coffee makes them jitter, so they don't touch it.
And?
It's perfect. They don't touch my coffee.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Because when I ordered, last time I ordered Viking coffee, my pastor's wife, well, and him, they both enjoy coffee. And Viking always throws a sample in. And when I order it, I've been giving it to them. But this time I decided, why don't I just order them a full pound? And that's what I did. I handed it to the pastor's wife, and she almost hugged me. She's like, thank you so much. And I'm like, well, that's the least I can do for all you guys do for the church. So, she read the label. It was my favorite, which is the Refined Savage Old Man Strength from Viking Coffee, which is fantastic freaking coffee. And she was a little worried about the caffeine content. I'm like, oh, it doesn't even come close to Death Wish. I even forgot what the other one was that we were talking about last week.
Yeah, I can never remember the name of that.
Yeah, and
but
I'm like,
I'm never going to buy that anyway. I will die.
Yeah, me too. No way. That's the one thing I'm a little bit concerned with on the hike is at the refreshments, they'll have alternate hydration stations, which will have like a water and probably like things like Gatorade, shit like that, you know, and then food or snack stations, which will have things like peanut butter sandwiches, and I think they have energy drinks at both of them, and that's what I'm a little bit worried about is whether I grab more than I should on those as I'm hiking.
Just track your consumption.
Oh yeah, I'm not too worried about it. You know, I'm good at that.
Don't go over 600.
The one thing that is good when you're on a hike and you're a guy is if you have to pee in the middle of it, all you need is a freaking tree.
Bring the right equipment, then if you're a woman, all you need is a freaking tree.
That's true too.
Or you don't have to worry about it at all. You just pee wherever you want, right? You don't even need a tree.
Get yourself one of those truck diapers.
But if there's lots of people on a trail, you kind of want to kind of go just a little bit off the trail.
Just be careful. Don't do what Dave does.
Don't pee in a creek. You did that?
No. I don't know what he's talking about. But I did play golf with my son-in-law a couple of weeks ago in Florida, and I had to find a tree.
I'm going to be in Florida next week.
Yep. I'm sorry. You're going to Disney,
aren't
you?
They like that on the golf course, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Some redneck peeing on a tree.
I know I'm not the first one.
So are you going to Disney, Joe?
No. I'm not leaving the panhandle.
I can't see Joe going to Disney.
I got it.
I've been to Disney.
Oh, he has.
Would you go again?
If it was free,
how much is it now?
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm sure it's
too
expensive.
Too freaking much.
The last amusement park I went to, we were in Daytona or Cocoa Beach, some beach on the Atlantic side of Florida, 4 or 5 years ago. But my youngest daughter wanted to go to Harry Potter World, so we drove to Orlando one day and went, and it was expensive, and it wasn't worth it. But
Universal, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The Universal is lower cost. It's a whole lot smaller.
Yeah. It's still expensive.
Yeah. Still awesome, though.
I'm surprised your wife allowed that, Dave.
Oh, my wife loves roller coasters. I mean, I do too. I do too, but...
Roller coasters are great.
Yeah.
If I can fit on them, I enjoy them.
I mean, I'm white-knuckling it the whole time, but...
Well, I wrote the... I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago, I rode the Fury at Carowinds, which I still think is maybe the largest in North America. I think it's called Fury 365. They shut it down earlier this year because there was a crack in it, but they got that fixed. But that was the first roller coaster I'd ridden since I was probably 15, and I was 50. And it did cross my mind when I got on, am I too old for this? But me and my wife got on it, and it's like a 4.5 minute roller coaster. I mean,
if you're too old for it, then you deserve to die.
Exactly.
On it.
That's what I thought. Anyway, I got on it, and I laughed the whole time. It was just so much fun. But my wife didn't make a sound. It scared the crap out of her. I mean, she literally did not make one sound the entire roller coaster ride.
I know a lot of people that like to wave their arms and shit, and most people like to wave their... I'm going to white-knuckle that shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm holding on, but I'm laughing. I'm having a good time, but I'm not sticking my arms out. No,
I'm loving every second of it, and I might be about to crap my pants.
But... Yeah, if I'm going 90 miles an hour in a convertible on a rail, I'm holding on. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Arduino IDE sucks. Ugh.
Did you take that on a roller coaster, Joe?
No.
It's okay.
I'm trying to start a new sketch so I can load it over because I got a circuit wired up. And I hit new cloud sketch, got the thing created, but I still see the old sketch loaded. I'm like, in the IDE, I'm like, go away.
Man, it's been a long time since I used my Arduino. I should pull it out.
I hope one day if I make it to like 104, I get to, you know, go get on a roller coaster.
That too.
And Joel, I mean, you should be about the weight where you could get on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty close. It should be on your journey anyway.
Well, if we ever did another retreat,
Like, I mean, unless you turn out to be like 4'6" or something.
Right. Now, if we ever did another retreat at the place we did it before years ago at my church, I'll be able to do the zip line now. I'm under the weight I need to be for that. And I'd do it.
I've rappelled off a 300-foot cliff before, but I've never been on a zip line. It's opportunity. It's not fear. I mean, I would do it, but I've just never taken the opportunity to do it.
Fun. Zip lines are fun. Rappelling is fun.
Yeah, the first time I went rappelling, I was 12, 13. I guess I was 13. And about halfway down is 300 foot. 150 foot down, there was like a ledge that you could rest on.
It wasn't that high for us.
But I rested on that ledge, and I remember hollering down to the guy doing the belayer or whatever the term is. You know, there's a yellow jacket's nest up here. And as soon as I said it, they started swarming. I mean, it's just like on cue.
Time to go.
Well, it was my first time. I did the wrong thing. You know, I'm holding myself with my hand behind my belt with my left hand. My right hand, I got a glove on. I stick the glove in my mouth, take the glove off, and start swatting. So I'm spinning around.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to go down the last 150 foot with no glove on my right hand because there's no way to put it back on. I got stung 11 times and got severe rope burn on my right hand. But I went back the next week. I mean, I worked at a Boy Scout camp, so we had opportunity to do it every week. But
no, we did it in basic training, but I don't remember it being 100 feet.
Well, yeah, we were real near this mountain. I mean, it had this face, so it was easy to get to. But one thing I could never do was that Australian stuff where you run down face forward.
Yeah, nope.
My little brother, he didn't think twice about that.
The only reason I was able to rappel is because you're able to focus on what's in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And ignore the big drop behind you.
Yeah. But rappelling's fun. I would jump and stuff, but that running down the face first.
No, I guess you have to really trust the person who's holding that.
Or that and the knot at the top of the hill.
Was that?
That and the knot, you know, at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't do it again. I mean, I remember the last time I got on a skateboard, I was probably 30. And It took me 10 minutes to work up the nerve to push off. When, you know, I was a teenager. I had a skateboard. Had no skateboard parks, but I was, you know, I was good enough.
I rode the shit out of a
skateboard. Have you ever rode one of them hoverboards?
No, I'm not getting on one of those. But you get over 30, asphalt becomes a whole lot harder than you remember it being.
Yes, sir. Why do you think when I go on a trail, I have trekking poles with me, especially if it's a natural trail? So now comes the fun time where I have to find out the library I have to load in the IDE in order to get this stupid thing to compile.
So, Joel.
Yes.
Are you tracking your calories?
I am.
What are you hitting today?
Probably a little bit under, I'd say between 23 and as much as 2,900.
Yeah, okay. Sounds about right.
Yeah. I'll have days where I go super low, and it depends on, like, how many veggies I eat, you know. The more veggies I eat, the less other stuff I have to eat.
Yeah, well, you also don't want to, you know, end up with an eating disorder. And if you go too low for too long, binge eating disorder it is a possibility.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing is working. I mean, you lost almost 100 pounds. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're doing awesome, man. That's why.
Well, a year and a half. And it took a year and a half of me just doing exercise before.
It's better to lose it slow than to lose it in like 3 months and then turn around and gain, you know, 200 back.
Yes.
I've lost 40 pounds 3 or 4 times in my life, and I always put it right back on. But, you know, part of that's I'll stop running. Yeah, you know, I stop. I don't know if I can run anymore with my knee, but I know I can exercise, but I'm just not doing it. But I got to start.
What about biking?
I got a bike. And
it's easier on the joints.
It is, but I need to be like on a, you know, I don't like biking the road. I don't trust drivers or myself on the road with the bike.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying.
I had a wreck in Mexico. But I don't know why we were at a resort, and I don't like to leave the resort, but my wife was like, no, you can take a bike into this town. So it was a group of us, and I realized, like, the last 5 minutes before we went off on the bikes, that my oldest daughter never learned how to ride a bike. And my soon-to-be son-in-law, well, we can teach her in 10 minutes. She can't teach a grown-up how to ride a bike in 10 minutes. So she ended up staying at the resort. But on the way back on this bike trip, we're on the shoulder of the road, and there was this pothole come out of nowhere, and I had a pretty good bike wreck. So I'm not scared of bikes.
Did you hit the asphalt?
I hit the hole, the front wheel, and just dead over.
And then you hit the asphalt?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you were hurt?
I mean, I was banged up. I mean, I rode the bike back.
You should have laid there crying, Dave, and made him carry you back. They'll learn their lesson.
Yeah, it could have been worse, but it was bad enough. But I flipped running, too. I mean, I've hit a lip in a sidewalk and cut a flip, you know.
You know what I always dread when I'm out running? I still have the fear, and I haven't done it in, knock on wood, in years. It's been a long time. It's turned my ankle. I hate that. My God. I hate that.
And my right ankle, I've turned that thing so many times, it's ridiculous.
I've turned my ankle, but what's worse is rolling your ankle.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I'm talking about, rolling it. I mean, a severe sprain. That's worse than breaking it.
Yeah, I had mine swell up like a grapefruit.
Yeah, me too.
It was not pretty.
And it hurts. I mean, I put my foot, I put ribs, but a sprained ankle, that's awful.
No, the roll was bad enough that the Army gave me 10% for it when I got out because my ankle moves too much.
Ugh.
Yeah, I ran and jumped off our patio when I was like in fifth grade, and I just landed, and my ankle just, it just 90 degree angle, it just folded on me. And my ankle's been weak ever since.
I think the worst I ever did was I was running with my boxer pants.
You should really wear like support underwear, Dan.
And we were running out of this part where it was like the road narrowed, and then it went off like into this rocky ditch on the side, like, and I was running, and this car was coming, and I knew, and I'm like, well, I got to go off into the ditch, and I knew as soon as I went off in the ditch, that was a stupid mistake, and boom, down I went. And then I had to walk the dog home. And luckily, I wasn't that far away. I was only like four or five blocks from my house.
Because I was running in formation, and we were running in the desert. When I say we, I mean I was in formation. And we switched back from running on the sand to running on the hard top. And I was still moving my feet like I was running on sand, which is a little bit different than a hard top. So I landed on the side of my foot, rolled it all the way over, and then, me being, you know, 19 and stupid, I continued running for another 2 or 3 miles.
Oh. Mm.
And then, instead of going to see a doctor, I put my boots on and I went to work. Granted, they sent me to the doctor because I could barely walk. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I, like, I always, when I'm hiking, I always have my trekking poles, especially if I'm on a natural trail. Not so much on asphalt. Don't have to worry about it there. But you never know when you hit a patch of mud that you can't see and you start to slide. Having those in your hands is a good thing because you can put those out and you can protect yourself from falling on your ass. I mean...
Or stab yourself, one of the two.
Well, it depends on how you hold them.
Depends on the grip.
You know, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to... You don't want to go through the top of the loop and then hold it. You want to go through the bottom of the loop and then hold it. And that way, when you fall, it's not going to go flying out of your hand. But... And I don't have anything for my trekking poles. I don't have anything like really Boku nice. I have, like, you can get them in carbon fiber. I've got aluminum.
Yeah. It's almost quitting time.
Almost.
All right. What's. Yeah. Oh, it is quitting time. Joel says it's quitting time. It's time to play us out. Yeah. We'll see you back here next week in June, right?
Yep.
Maybe.
Holy moly. School is almost out. What do you mean, maybe?
Next week? Maybe. Well, I'll be in Florida.
Maybe we'll see you. Oh, well, you know, you spend time with the family. You want to hang out with
Joel.
Dave?
It'll depend. You know, my dad's pretty old. I mean, he's like, you know, Dave's age or so. So he doesn't do a whole lot.
Right.
Did he say right. Dave's age?
Dave's age.
How old are you?
50. I'll be 58 this year.
Oh, he's got a couple years on you.
Okay.
See, Joe's right. A youngin.
I turned 43 this year.
All right.
See, I'm 53, and I think Dan's also 53 too, right?
No, I'm 52.
Ah, making you older.
Playing yeah,
with a
you
full
is.
Deck now, ain't you, Dan?
Isn't Alan in his 60s now? I don't know. We haven't talked to him in a while. I know he got laid off. That's the only thing I know. I know Pat got laid off.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to play us out. Here it is. Your outro.
I am short.
Oh my God, it's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Indeed.
If we can find this stupid library, I can compile this sketch.
Alright, guys. I'll talk to y'all when I talk to y'all.
Have a good time in Florida.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to try. Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, have a safe trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
right. Stop it.
Good night, Nigel. Like, he gives a list of certain things. You don't have to pick from this list. You can pick something else, like lack of competitiveness or profitability, inefficient processes, slow product development, obsolete or outdated IT organizations and technologies, poor corporate communications, ongoing personal issues. I'm going to be freely admit, I'm not a huge fan of this class. I'm doing okay. I got an A so far, but I just don't like it.
Does it have to be business related?
Could
it be anything?
It could be. I think what I may do is I may choose slow product development propose using 3D printing for developing prototypes. That's kind of cool, what I've already done.
I heard a cool project over the holiday. The guy up the street is a professor, an astronomy professor at Hampton University, and over the summer he has this project he's been working on for a while that he's hoping to get maybe some interested interns to update, but it's using machine language to apply the wind speed models to tide height. So taking right now, I guess he has it working that it takes the wind speed and direction and the tide, and it helps to predict how much higher the tide will be due to the effect of the wind. So he has it right now. It's got like a margin of error of like 10 centimeters, but they need to get it, you know, a lot smaller now, because 10 centimeters isn't much, but
you know,
that could be the difference between flooding and, you know, not bad.
Hey, yo.
What up?
Hey, Dave. I think a big reason I'm not liking this course is my last course would have a live, not a Zoom, but over it uses, they use something called Engagely, but it's a live class, and you had interaction, you got to know people in your class. Some of the, there's at least one or two of them in my current class that were in the last class, but I didn't work with them on projects and stuff, so. At least the good thing is that this is an individual project and not a group project, which means it's a whole lot easier for me to do because I'm only counting on myself. But I'm just not thrilled by it. It feels like one of the classes they're putting in just to fill space. At least that's what it feels like to me anyway, you know. But it's like, you know, I'm taking my master's degree in information systems. You think I know what technology is and how to use it, you know? Yeah, I don't know. But anywho, this morning, though, when I went to the gym, I did a – one thing I've been trying to do is push my speed up a little bit. And then I kind of how I measure it, how I think I did was because I vary it as I go through it depending on how comfortable I feel, right? So on the treadmill. So this morning I did 1.75 miles in about 30 minutes. So between no less than about 3.2 mile an hour, you know, so between like a slow run and a kind of regular paced walk, I guess. I don't know.
That's cool. Would that be called a jog?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Tomorrow's my... I can't believe it's like... We had Monday off, and Monday, I crushed it. I had it just had one of the best days. I went on this... I found this metro park nearby with a 5.9 loop trail, and man, it was so much fun. It was just a really nice trail. I really enjoyed it.
Was that in the day or the morning?
Kind of in the morning, you know, 'cause I slept in, of course, It's Monday. I don't have to be working. Our folks in Mexico are covering us since it was a U.S. holiday. But I think I might at least try to get some of this paper done tonight and a little bit tomorrow. I don't want to have to rush it. But so far, this is the second course been for both. Counting both courses, I've only lost 15 points total, and they were all on this course. Lost five the week before and the 10 this week. You know, still have an A, but, you know, it's – which I guess – I don't know. I just – I kind of prefer the ones with that at least have some sort of engagement. And I feel like this instructor is just phoning it in, you know. But anywho,
my wife has an instructor that's like that right now.
It's just like
it was a course that they didn't like. Apparently, which she suspects because like it just came got picked back up at the last minute or something like that. But she suspected like maybe the original professor quit or whatever, and they threw this guy in at the last minute, whoever could, you know, they could get to fill in. And like she's like, you know, the syllabus doesn't make much sense because all the dates are wrong, and it's just
yeah. Or like I had, like last week's paper was I had to write an article on. See, the thing that just irks the hell out of me with this one, he wants everything written APA format, which I get it, you know. But it's just like the assignment was to write an article, like I guess supposing like you were published on a website, but then you had to also throw in references and stuff, which you would not do in an article. And I'm like, okay, so what am I? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not thrilled by this class. I'm looking forward to getting this one over with. We're on week five, so there's only three more after this week. So it's like, and then that's it, you know. But it's like, and the books, this is the second. At least I didn't have to buy books, so the books are all included and they're all online. But that the books have a lot to be desired. This one feels a lot like the last book did, and where it was more or less a list of stuff, and it's like doesn't flow well, you know, when you're reading it. It's like you read this and it's like, great, now how does that tie into that? And you're like, I don't know. Not thrilled. But yeah, I'll get through it. And I got my ordered a bunch of pieces parts from AliExpress, and I got the first ones of them this week already. So ordered some capacitors, some resistors, and a couple of Arduino boards. Not, you know, since I ordered from AliExpress, they're going to be copies. So, but I should be able to at least tell if I can like do a simple thing, see if the board's going to work. But trying to think of use some stuff with the MP3 modules I bought. Something simple, not anything with ham radio yet. Don't worry, I can bring that back up.
MP3 modules?
They have an MP3 module that you can...
Maybe we should save it for the show.
Yeah! Oh,
that's a good point.
Yeah!
DF Robot one.
Oh... All
right. I'm just trying to figure out, what do I have to encode the MP3s for and stuff like that? I'm still trying to figure out how to get the damn thing to work.
Yeah, find some instructions somewhere. Somebody else's tutorial on how they did it.
Yeah, DF Robot has one, but I wired it up, tried it, and didn't set the sketch to it and didn't work. So I don't know whether it's maybe it's because I need to put an amplifier on the output.
Alright, let's
shouldn't have to, but
hook it up to something that's got an amp built in, like, you know, a Bluetooth speaker that has an aux.
Yeah, well, I'd have to buy a Bluetooth module.
Well, a Bluetooth speaker that has an aux.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, ready to go?
Yeah.
Well, let's do it, do it. What episode is this, Dave?
54.
You got it, baby? Hey, Dave, quick question.
Yeah.
You find a lot of possums on the road these days? Roadkill possums? Because there's like a ton of them around here. I'm like, it's bumming me out because I like possums.
Yeah, we used to, I mean, maybe less than back in the 80s. There's a reason I know about the number of possums in the 80s. But
because you were eating them.
No.
No, he was running them over.
We were throwing them in people's driveways.
The dead ones? Or
yeah.
I guess so.
It became a thing for like 2 years at my high school.
Nice.
Well, all right. Let's do it to a 10:54.